Good morning. If you care to turn for the reading for our message this morning, we'll be in 2 Timothy. The second chapter. And we'll read together, beginning at the first verse and read down through verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 19. This is the word of the Lord. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. And as we look into this passage, we ask that you would give us understanding, give us ears to hear, give us hearts to receive, and give us the will to be doers of your word, that your kingdom would grow, that you would be honored and glorified. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to focus our attention on verses 14 through 19. And in the middle of that is once again fairly familiar verse. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And often when we come across a verse like that, we learn it, we teach it to our children, we tell people to learn it, and we sometimes forget about the context that surrounds the verse. And so we want to look at these few verses and try and place it in the context of what Paul is writing to Timothy. If you want a theme to hang your hat on, something along this lines: Paul encourages Timothy to be a diligent, godly worker for the Lord. There's two major things that I want to point out, and then some other smaller points underneath. Paul in writing to Timothy, is reminding him of a number of things along the way. This is the second letter he's written. So, as we look at this morning, he calls Timothy to remind not only himself, but those that he is teaching, to remind them of these things. And we'll explain that more clearly, briefly. But then he also calls Timothy to remember, the God that we serve and worship. So as we look at the reminding that Paul gives to Timothy to pass on, I want to break that down into three things. Paul talks about warning, working, and wandering as he's reminding Timothy to remind his congregation. Warnings. What's the first one? Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. This is a reminder because in the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, he warned them about that then. In the first chapter, he writes to Timothy, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes, rather than godly edification which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is in love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk." So Timothy and the others that would have heard this letter as Timothy passed it on would be somewhat familiar with running into problems of idle talk, of striving about words that have no profit. And, you know, I think it's something that we can slough off. You know, I was thinking about this and I thought of cute little stories that, you know, we laugh at. For instance, you know, young Johnny's having a serious discussion with his parents and he's you know, about 6 years old. And he's having his first theological crisis. He doesn't know if he can worship with this congregation anymore because everyone else says, "Amen," and I say, "Amen." Idle words. And it is funny, it is cute, but it starts somewhere, doesn't it? Or the visiting minister who's talking to the elder of the congregation and he's, as he's driving into town, was impressed with the great number of churches that were in the town for the town's size. And he asked the elder about how well the gospel was being preached and the outreach that was happening in the community. You see, they were First Baptist Church and there was all these other Baptist churches. Well, we can put whoever you want, First Reformed if you like. And the elder's response was, "Well, to be honest with you, we don't have a really good evangelical outreach program. What we do have is every couple of years or so, the ability to have a nasty church split over something." Sort of funny, but really sad. Because all too often, it's true. And it starts over idle words. We have many people in different parts of the church that focus their attention on tearing down one another in the body of Christ over idle words that bring no profit. Whether they're fables or whether they're genealogies, whether it's splitting hairs over what Reformed means. The result is the ruin to the hearers. And that's a reminder that Paul passes to Timothy to pass on to the church. And so I call us to remember this warning before God that arguing undermines God's work. And that this involvement is multi-leveled, if you will. It's not two people sitting in a small room discussing something. Often it blows past that. And there are people that become participants by listening. And they're distracted in that fashion. And they're detracted from the true work of the kingdom of God. And I think at various points, many of us, if not all of us, have in one way, shape, or form been caught up in arguments that have kept us from doing something that would build up the body of Christ. Well, the second thing that is a reminder is that of working. As we read the first part of the chapter, I wanted to do that because Paul so often uses various illustrations to explain different elements of living the Christian life. And in reading this chapter, he made reference to Christianity in terms of a soldier, Christianity in terms of athletics, and Christianity in terms of a farmer. And here, he's talking to the Christian in terms of a worker and being a diligent worker. And specifically in Timothy's life, he's talking about studying to show yourself approved unto God. And I want to submit that sometimes in the learning of this verse, we do so with a very specific and narrow idea in our minds. And that is that we rightly understand God's Word. And I say, great. That definitely is part of what Paul is saying to Timothy. But that's only part of it. Because what Paul is talking about is not only for those people who spend their lives and make their livelihood in studying so that they can present the Word of God to others. It's for all of us. It talks about diligence and zealousness. The emphasis is that we need to be working diligently, yes, in studying and knowing God's Word, but in living God's Word. He talks about rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's not only talking about what does this verse mean in this context, in this chapter, in the book, and comparing to other Pauline writings, or in how it fits in with the Old Testament. Surely those are important things. But for the world to see, rightly dividing the Word of truth means how do I live this life that I claim to believe? Now when you dig a little deeper behind what does it mean to rightly divide, there were some possibilities there. It could mean in reference to plowing straight furrows for the farmer. It could mean in cutting a straight edge if you're a carpenter. It could mean sewing a straight seam if you were a tailor. Building a straight wall, etc. Interestingly enough is if you consider what Paul did for a living. And by that I don't mean only the preaching of the gospel. I mean, how he enabled himself to do that. He was a tent maker, wasn't he? So it wasn't insignificant to be thinking about sewing a straight seam. Perhaps he was building a tent when he was writing this letter to Timothy. And it certainly would have been important for a man making a living at selling tents to have tents that looked like somebody knew what they were doing. And so it falls to us, to Timothy and to us, that as we apply this to our lives, that we, whatever our work is, that our seams be straight, that our furrows be straight, that our cuts be straight, that our Christian lives permeate everything that we do, everything that we say. If I continue to claim to be a Christian and then don't behave any differently than the world around me, I am not rightly dividing the word of truth. Because I am claiming one gospel with my mouth and living another gospel with my actions. And if we find ourselves in that position, then surely we run into the problem of necessarily being ashamed. But understand, as we work and we rightly divide that word of truth and we live it out in our lives, that we have no need to be ashamed, because God has approved of us. Now, He doesn't do so because we do all the right things. God has approved of us because He loved us first. But our response needs to be that we walk rightly, that we walk straightly, so that others can evidence that, and we don't need to be ashamed. I've said it before. It was Francis Assisi, I believe, who first coined something like this, although it wouldn't have been in English, understand that? So that's why it's something like this. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. God approves of us and of our labor when we do so for His name's sake. It's about building the kingdom of God with our lives, not building our own kingdoms. And I think that that's when people get caught up in idle talk. Because Paul goes back to that. And he writes after saying, be diligent, like a good worker. He writes, shun profane and idle babblings, because they will increase to more ungodliness. That's sandwiched in between, don't waste your breath striving about words that don't profit. And they're not only going to not profit, it's going to lead to more ungodliness. So it's important that we understand the right words and speak the right words and live the right words, so that we're shunning those words that tear down, those words that increase ungodliness for all who become involved. And as we work at that, it's a response to God's work in us. It's for His name's sake that He be glorified. Well, Paul moves on from warning and working to wandering. Those who have taken it even a step further. And he talks about those that have a message that will spread like cancer. The New King James uses. I prefer actually other translations that use gangrene. both very serious diseases, but I think paint slightly different pictures. Both spread, but gangrene is a different disease than cancer, although I think in some instances maybe they cross over. Do you know what gangrene is? It's some kind of infection that begins in a limb, usually, of your body that ruins the flesh. And it affects the flesh next to it. The only way to stop gangrene is to take the leg off. They're not going to hook you up to an IV and hope that it's going to change it. Once gangrene sets in, that portion of the body, if left, will kill the whole. And so it paints a picture of drastic need if the body is going to be saved. And we're talking about idle words that lead to profane babblings that lead to a gospel that is not true. And it needs to be removed because those words lead to wandering from the truth. And here Paul has a specific example. Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now, Paul mentioned Hymenaeus in the first letter that he wrote to Timothy. And the instruction was to separate from this one because he turned him over to the devil. His teaching was that vile. And he says here that their teaching involved the resurrection, that it had already passed. And so they were overthrowing the faith of some. They were leading others astray because their gospel in the end was poison. And like gangrene, the limb needed to be cut off. And so they were to be removed from the fellowship because if they weren't, the picture is gangrene. It's not a pretty picture. And it's not a fun thing to think about, but it's a necessary thing to think about when we're talking about God's kingdom, not our kingdom. And to do so needs to be done carefully. But in the end, if you can't bring people back to where they need to be in rightly dividing the word of truth, then like gangrene, it needs to be removed. Now chances are the resurrection they were preaching perhaps had to do with what they would have referred to as a spiritual resurrection. And therefore there wasn't this need for the bodily one that Paul taught would happen, or that Jesus taught would happen, because he too faced some who misunderstood or even denied the resurrection. And the concern is for the well-being of the church of God, of the church of Christ. Warnings, workings, and wanderings. It's a bit of a heavy message. But the reminder that Paul finishes with to Timothy is a reminder of hope, of salvation, of the necessity of what Paul is saying. The reason I had Mr. Callahan read, I had asked him to read from Numbers, is that in this verse 19, Paul tells Timothy that there is a seal on the solid foundation of God. And in Numbers 16, this story that took place in early church history, if you will, if you look carefully at that story, it involves these two seals, I believe. The seal of the first is that God knows who are His. The Lord knows who are His. And the second is, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What was the instruction that Moses gave, or that the Lord gave to Moses? It involved those two things. The Lord knows who His people are, and when He was going to bring judgment down, the instruction was to remove yourself from these wicked people. God's solid foundation is firm. That's the hope. You see, in spite of idle words, in spite of profane babblings, in spite of dishonesty in the preaching of the gospel and preaching a different gospel, God's foundation is not threatened. The church is not threatened, because God is not changing. These things are not built on our words or whims. They're built on God's promises. And God's promises, unlike the financial world today, can be banked on. God's kingdom cannot be shaken. The writer of the Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 28, described it this way: therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's what Paul is talking to Timothy about, writing to Timothy about. That's what he's talking to us about today. The Good Shepherd knows His people, knows His sheep, and He gives them everlasting life. But in the midst of that, we need to recognize that we be constantly aware, constantly on guard in our own lives, that we not spend our time whispering things that aren't beneficial to the body. That we not be sucked in by others that preach a gospel that is different than the gospel of Jesus Christ, than the gospel that Paul said He preached. He could claim that because he preached Christ's gospel. And we need to always watch ourselves that is what we do. It is our hope. We have a solid foundation. We need to rejoice in that and continue to build, continue to work, living godly, diligent lives as workers for the kingdom of God. Amen.